The Jews were boastful about themselves. They were boastfully claiming, "Our hearts are in wraps." قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. And they implied hearts can only absorb the truth. Anything other than the truth, our hearts will reject. So Allah Ta'ala rejects this claim of theirs. بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ. It is not the case, as they say, that their hearts are absolutely secure, it can only take in the truth, then that's not the case. The actual case is this, is that on account of their consistent and insistent transgression, sin, Allah Ta'ala has placed a seal on their hearts. So on account of the seal, their hearts cannot absorb any truth. It rejects the truth. Truth is foreign for them, it's alien to them. And because it is alien and because it is foreign, their hearts are not absorbing it. Then Allah Ta'ala explains what were their wrongs. وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَرْيَمَ مُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَكَّالُونَ لِلسُّحْدِ. They are fond of listening to lies. أَكَّالُونَ لِلسُّحْدِ, and eaters of haram. Suhd actually means, in Arabic, suhd means to eliminate, to uproot. To uproot something, to take off something from the very root. This is suhd. Normally it refers to bribery. When bribery comes into a community, into a people, then it uproots it entirely, because there is no system now. There can be no system, there cannot be any proper qanun, any proper system, any way, any method. I want anything done, it is bribed the person that is in charge, the official, and I get things done the way I want it. I want a masla to be worded in my favor, I bribe the person and get the masla worded in my favor. So whether it is the administration of the world, whether it is the administration of deen, when bribery comes into a nation, then it wipes it off, it eliminates it. سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَكَّالُونَ لِحْسُحْتَ. And the various other sins they were fond of. إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Proudly they would say, like how they say now, proudly South African. Everywhere you see proudly South African, proudly. Sometimes we need to speak about these things in the bayan, see, that pride is haram. Whether it is going against the ethos of this country or not, they're allowing freedom of speech. So when they're allowing freedom of speech, must speak about it, say that this is haram, it's not permissible. Yes, we can say we are fortunate to be in comfort, in ease, but to say now proud, we are proud, then we're not proud. And furthermore, a Muslim living in a Darul Kufr, a land of Kufr, where Islam is not prevalent, Islam doesn't prevail, then you're not supposed to be proud there. Someone is living in Pakistan, for example, and now suddenly he's got a green card, he's an American citizen or British citizen, now he's proud about it and he's celebrating, calling all his friends. So is this right? We need to ask within ourselves that you become the citizen of a Darul Kufr, and then you're celebrating over that, we are enjoying, we are celebrating, we are talking highly about it. It's a very dangerous thing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come, use hirahu ala deen kulli, that his deen must prevail over every other religion. Here in Darul Kufr, the kufr prevails, disbelief prevails. When disbelief prevails, then you aren't supposed to be living here with itminan and ease. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, sometimes people would bring to him the masla of interest and they would say it's Darul Kufr and Darul Harb, and there are some jurists that speak about the permissibility of interest in a Darul Harb, in a Darul Kufr, especially where there's Kufr that prevails, the law of Kufr prevails. You cannot enforce the law of Islam, like how we are living here, the law of Islam cannot be enforced. So sometimes he would answer it with a different dimension, but sometimes he would answer it in this way as well. He would say that, see, you are looking at it in this manner, that this, because it is Darul Kufr, therefore the consuming of usury is permissible. But do you know, Imam Muhammad rahmatullah has recorded in his Kitab Al-Mabsud that to have conjugal relationship with your wife in Darul Kufr is makruh tahrimi. Do you know that also? So that masla that was suitable to you, it was enjoyable to you, that you found it very, very easily. But that masla that was not suitable to you, there you just discard it, you disregard it totally. And he would give the reasons. The reasons he would say is if the child is brought up in Darul Kufr, all around him he will be brought up in an environment of kufr, of disbelief, of corruption. Shirk, kufr, and all type of corruption will be prevalent around him. And he'll be brought up in that type of environment. So it can't be possible that when he's brought up in this type of environment, he's not affected. He must be affected. To some degree or the other, he must be affected. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had declared India as Darul Kufr when the English had taken over around the 1800s. That he had declared it as Darul Kufr. لیکن اس کو دار الکفر قرار دینے کے بعد کیا وہ مطمئن اور خاموش بیٹھے رہے؟ After declaring it as دار الکفر, did he sit in peace? He never sat for a day in peace after that. Then he got his nephew Shah Ismail Shaheed Sahib رحمت اللہ prepared, go out in jihad. And Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib رحمت اللہ was prepared. Then he prepared Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib رحمت اللہ, that's also his murid and khalifa. He got him prepared and go out. All the difficulties and pains. In that zamana, you're talking of 1800s, approximately 200 and some odd years ago. They say that Mawlana Ismail Shaheed and Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi had converted approximately 200,000 Imam Baras into masjids. That zamana, that was the zamana where the Indian population must have been very, very small compared to what it is now. In that zamana, they changed over 200,000. Imam Bara is a Shia masjid, Shia Jamaat Khana, whatever it is. So it converted that into masjids. Can you imagine the amount of effort these people must have made in the length and the breadth of India? How many people that they have changed? So what we are speaking about is this heart not being able to absorb good. The hadith says it very clearly. When a person commits a wrong, then a black spot settles onto his heart. If he makes tawbah, istighfar, cries to Allah Ta'ala, then that is wiped out. Otherwise, that blackness begins to grow. One evil invites another evil. In min jaza'il is-sayyati as-sayyatu ba'daha. The punishment for committing a wrong is that wrong that you have committed, it attracts another wrong. One wrong attracts another wrong, and so forth and so on. Now you need to check it on time. Now we don't check it in time, and then that attracts another wrong, and then the third wrong, and the fourth wrong. Now there are layers of darkness. Zulumatum ba'duha fawqa ba'd. Layers of darkness, one above the other, piled up. When the darkness begins to pile up, now truth is not acceptable, it's not attractive, it's no longer good to you. In your sight, truth doesn't have that appeal. You don't have that appeal towards truth. You've got that few minutes, for example, you'd rather spend it in speaking to friends. Okay? And you will create a word for yourself. You will have come to the masjid, perform two rakats of namaz, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Al-Mu'an Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah says, examine this verse, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرَغْبْ. Examine this verse carefully. He explains that فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ refers to tabligh. It refers to da'wat and tabligh and propagation, inviting people, whether it's ta'lim, whichever type of tabligh, whether it's ta'lim, or like how the tablighi jamaat has it, or jihad, or the different types of tabligh. But with regards to tabligh and propagation, what Allah Pak says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, when you finished with it, when you finished with it. He doesn't say, when you are finished and you are completed dedicating yourselves to me. That means, this is a work that is a contingency. It is for that moment. Waqti zarurat ki cheez hai. It's a contingency, it may happen, there may be a zarurat. So when there is that zarurat, you must engage yourself in that. Teaching now, you're making mashwara, you're writing a kitab, okay? Or you are going out in jihad, whatever it is, but that is a zarurat. So that zarurat you need to finish off. And then, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرَغْبْ. Your actual focus, your actual attention, your heart supposed to be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart being dedicated and focused to Allah ta'ala, there is no completion for that. There is no termination for that. Like for this termination point you have done, and that has ended. But for this there is no termination point. That must be a continuous thing. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرَغْبْ. أَبْنَى رَبْكِ تَرَفْ دِلْ لَغَاوْ. For the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no limit. It's a continuous thing. It's an ongoing thing. In fact, this mehnat of writing kitab, teaching, jihad, tabligh, etc. is for this. Is for establishing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improves. It is corrected. It is rectified. So this evil, wrong, the one property of wrong is this, that one wrong attracts the other. You have done one wrong. Can you imagine now, these Jews and this Bani Israel, from what point, to what point they reached up? To what level they reached? Proudly they say, we have slaughtered and we have killed, assassinated Isa alayhi salam. وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They are saying this proudly, when Allah Pak is recording it in this verse, in this context. Allah is not just saying they said that they had killed. No, they are proudly, they are admitting it. You know, nowadays you have that the Al-Qaeda or the Taliban will shoot down a certain plane. And they will claim that we have shot it down. So when they say, when they claim that we have shot this plane down, what are they doing? They are proud about it. Aren't they proud about it? They're proud about it, and they're saying it proudly. So these people are saying it proudly that we killed Isa alayhi salam. They had to believe in Isa alayhi salam. They had to follow him. They had to emulate his example. Instead of them emulating, following and believing him, now they go to such a level of defiance that they go and kill the person that has been sent divinely to them. Can you imagine? What is that level? What is that level of defiance? And how did that level of defiance come in? You continued progressing in evil, continued progressing in transgression. And when you continued that progressing in evil, then there was a total seal. Now the truth is resented, and righteousness become detestable. Now what happens in its place? In its place, every evil, every wrong becomes likable, it becomes enjoyable, it becomes good, it becomes pleasing in your eyes. So where does this come from? It comes from here, it starts off here, it stems off from here. So Allah says that this taking a like and taking a liking towards good and righteousness, it doesn't just come like this. For it you require some determination, some effort. The whole property of the heart has to be changed. The whole outlook of the heart has to be changed. See, in the Jamaat they will tell you that we don't want 4 months and 6 months and 1 year. They will tell you, ye is kaam ko apna kaam bana do. Make it your work. Make it your butter and bread. In other words, you must think all the time, this must be your fikr, this must be your concern. This must be your concern. To spend that 4 months, or 40 days, or 3 days, is not a difficult thing. But the difficult thing is that night and day, this becomes your concern, this becomes your fikr. So similarly, here this becomes your whole fikr, your whole outlook. Allah Ta'ala khush ho jaye, Allah Ta'ala razi ho jaye. That becomes your very concern, small work or big work. What will please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that becomes your primary concern. This morning Hazrat explained that there are two terms that have been used quite commonly. One is tariqat and one is shariat. So tariqat is the type of enthusiasm that is created within you that will propel good, that will push you towards good. It will push you towards good, it will leave you uneasy. It will leave you so uneasy, like you've got hard number one or number two, very, very hard, pressed. And someone wants to have a dialogue with you. How was the picnic you had? How was the sardine season in Durban? So nothing is going to attract you. Now you're going to say, that my primary thing is I just need to go and relieve myself. After that we'll talk about these granny stories. But now, just forget me now. So this type of urge, this type of push you need to have, this type of urge. Now that urge is called tariqat. And on account of that urge, the action that it inspires, that action, the deed that it inspires, that is called shariat. Obviously that urge will ask you to come and perform namaz. Perform your namaz correctly, timeously. Perform all your wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, do it correctly. It will push you, it will actually, it will drag you through. It will not allow you to be in ease. Now you're fast asleep and breaks your sleep, now you get up now. Now what is that is urging you? This is that tariqat that we need to create within ourselves, that fast asleep and get up. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu anhu is just newly married. He needs ghusl, and here there is a call for jihad. And he hardly makes ghusl and he's gone, responding. Can you see that urge? Oh, I must respond. I can't be in ease now. I can't be resting now. So that urge has to be created, and that urge must be that at this moment, what does Allah Ta'ala wants from me? Then each person has a different capacity. each person will work according to his capacity. A student is in a madrasa, for example, so he will work within his capacity. Someone will tell him, you know what, read the fazail of Durood Sharif and the fazail of Namaz. So now his capacity and his duty at that moment, he's in the Adadiya, the pre-first to the first year. Now more than reading that fazail kitab, now his duty will be to read fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. He'll have to read that self. Now if someone tells him, you know, you're against Durood Sharif, what? You're against performing Nafil Namaz. You're against the Ta'limi program. But you're not against the Ta'limi program. This is what is needed for me at this moment. If someone is going to take that Fazail Kitab now, or he's going to take that Tasbih, and he's going to recite that Tasbih at that moment, the Ustaz is going to hit him for that. The Ustaz is going to discipline him for that. He's going to reprimand him for that. This is not the time for it. You'll do that after some other time you will do it. Now he just turns around against the Ustaz, but you know, the weight, about the weightiest thing on the scales is Subhanallah, bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim, and I'm reading it and you're stopping me. It's asking me to read Fa'ala. And there is no Allah Pak's name in this. You know, where's your reasoning gone? So this will be explained to that student that this is what is meant out for you now at this moment in time. So similarly, every other thing, you'll have to see what is meant for you at that time. Number two, look at your capacity. One is what is meant for you at that time, right? What is required of you at that time. You are performing namaz, right? So many examples for this. Juma namaz, and just in front of you, you can see a blind person is about, he'll take one step and he'll fall into a well, and there is. So now it's compulsory for you to break that namaz and help the blind person, save him from drowning. Now you see, you're breaking my Juma namaz. But this is the obligation of the time. So one is, you will see what is required of you at that time. What is required? When I say what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment, you will see that what I am supposed to be doing at that time. Otherwise everything is exciting. And everybody will make every work, his work, he'll make it exciting. I will make the madrasa work very, very exciting, very appealing. Someone will make some other work very appealing. Every person will make his work appealing. It must have an appeal, right? And number two is this, that look at your capacity, how much you can manage. How much you can manage. Now, for example, you've got your mutala to make, right? You have to prepare that kitab so that you are able to deliver that lesson for the following day. You need to prepare yourself. Or for example, those students, you know, that if you aren't going to be there, then they aren't going to pay attention. The following day, they won't have the kitab ready. Your son is becoming hafiz now, for example, and he requires the attention of the ustad. And the ustad says, no, I need to attend some other program, Gash program, or some other program, after Isha program now. Now you look at your capacity. Look at your situation. This is also a very great work, and a very noble work. But there are 10 students there. Yeah, that's khasam here. There's 10 people here after you. In your presence, they'll do the work. In your absence, they will all escape. What do you do? So you look at your situation, individual situation. I know if I'm not going to be in that hafiz class now, and or the ustad is not going to be there, my child is going to be neglected. Now how will I take it if it is personal, if it is my personal problem, my child will not learn, or his kitabs will not be right, the foundation, the elementary kitabs that are required for him to polish, it won't be right if he doesn't have the ustad's tuition and the ustad's guidance. And the ustad feels, no, I need to do some other work. Similarly, now it's your gush day, for example, this is your gush day, right? Now, you know that this is the important thing that you want there, then that work won't go as well as it's supposed to be going, right? So now you can see the situation, you need to do gush. But around that time, you find some other taqaza comes up. Some other taqaza comes up. What taqaza comes up? For example, now a taqaza comes up that I haven't completed my ma'mulat, my zikr, my tasbihat, I haven't completed. Now that obviously you can't find another time for it. For teaching those students at that time, there was no badal, there was no replacement. They will be there for that time. That time has expired, they're gone. But for your ma'mulat, etc., is there a badal, is there a substitute? There is a substitute for it. Alright, I couldn't do it. The gush was supposed to be after Maghrib. If I'm going to postpone that gush till after Isha, nobody's going to entertain me. And the brothers also will not accept that. It will not be acceptable that you're pushing the gush time from after Maghrib to after Isha. There is no substitute. You do it and that at that time. You can't bring it early also because you won't find it the people. You have to do it at that time. But now you have got a problem now, a clash between your ma'mul and your gush. Now what do you do? For this you can't find a substitute. You can't do it, you can postpone it after Isha. You can postpone it. Or it is your meals time, you're very hungry. And then they say you come out for gush. For your meals you can find a substitute. Aage piche kar sakte hai. But I just need to make a small provision, provided you're not hot-tempered. Fuqaha also make some exception for hot-tempered people. So you can taste that food. If your husband is very, very hot-tempered, small thing is not right. So provided you're not hot-tempered, you'd rather go out for gush. Are you going to be hot-tempered, you can't control yourself, then kahi ka ghussa kahi nikal aayega someday. You're supposed to be getting angry about the food. Food, your stomach is working now. And at that time, are you in Jamaat? You know, these brothers here, what they're doing? So that ghussa will come out, and you won't know that your ghussa, your anger is coming out in the incorrect manner. So you look at two things. First thing is, look at what is the need of the time, number one. And number two is look at your capacity as well, manage. The wrongs that do take place is because of not pondering over these two. I remember when I was in Mias Farm, and I used to be performing Taraweeh in the Jama Masjid in Linz. So it was the last 10 days of I'tikaf, and a lot of the senior ulama in Mias Farm were desirous of me also spending I'tikaf there in Linz. Right? For whatever reason, I was performing the Taraweeh. They felt perhaps it will make them feel better if I'm there. And I could see now, my ustad, Hazrat Abdul Rahman Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, Rahmatullah Alayh, he would feel comfortable with my presence. Some assistance, some support. So now to go for i'tikaf will be wonderful. Good food, you'll have no responsibilities. All the i'tikaf fazilat. Right? Very good. You're out of the farm, it's a small time of small break, you're out of everything. Right? And here you have to go and break your own head. Get this child, get him learn his sabak. I used to be helping Hafiza in getting the children prepared. Here he's breaking off head, and there it's easy. Right? Now, I need to look at that moment, what is needed of me at this time. Allah put in my heart, I attribute it to Allah Ta'ala, that He allowed me to make that decision, or I'll remain here, though it will be difficult for me to travel every day, but it will be a relief to my Ustad. It will be a relief for him, it will be a comfort for him, and I feel that that is more important. I still remember, up till now, I still remember the amount of du'as I got. Now, Avasab on his side, he couldn't say yes or no, that you must do this or do this, because he's under the employ, he's working, and being a worker, you know, you don't go there, and you remain with me. Right? He can't say this. Now that I need to understand, that he is in the employ, and he can't make his individual decision. But I still remember the type of happiness that it brought to him. Allah Ta'ala give us to him.